you two good with soldering on?
Yeah, please.
Okay. All right, we'll return to order. Thank you very much. And move on to item 588, please.
588, accept report from Design Week Portland on designing for civic engagement.
Okay, we have a presentation about this from Celie Pines and Kate Bingham. Come on, Bingham to Burt, and appreciate you waiting and being here to talk about good design and why it matters and civic engagement and why that matters. So welcome.
Thank you.
Can I give
technology.
These
it takes a village to start our system. Please, please. Okay. Oh, that's cool. Buildings need care. Yes, they do. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We appreciate having you here very much. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us, Mayor Hales, Commissioner Fritz, Commissioner Fish. We really appreciate the opportunity to share what we learned this year during our festival. I'm Celie Pines. I'm the director of Design Week Portland.
And I'm Kate Bingham and Burt, and I'm on the board of directors, and I'm also a professor at Portland State University in graphic design.
So we're going to start out by just giving you a little bit of background about Design Week, and then we'll go on to the headquarters public engagement that we held on Pioneer Courthouse Square during the festival this year and what we learned.
And we, of course, have a visual presentation that isn't quite coming up yet, but we're just going to go forward. So anyway, Design Week Portland is a week-long citywide series of programs exploring the process, craft, and practice of design across all disciplines. Our mission is to increase appreciation and awareness about design and its far-reaching effects on matters of cultural and social relevance, including community development, education, and the economy. So we started in 2012 as a collective of local independent events for the design community, and we pooled our resources together, and we wanted to share our audiences. So there were already several different events going on, like Creative Mornings, Design Speaks, Portland State's Show and Tell, We Make has a sketch exchange, there was Web Visions. As you can see, there were a lot of independent events happening. But we had a sense that, of course, a high tide would raise all of our ships collectively. There was no central infrastructure, only a dozen organizers galvanizing their networks over the course of 5 months. And what we lacked in infrastructure and funding, we made up with design. The two things we were really good at were getting people on board and branding what we were doing. And so it really worked. What happened from there was that we had tons of workshops, panel discussions, fairs, instruction, auctions, readings, portfolio reviews, tours, exhibits, celebrations, and happenings. And the first year, we had over 100 events and open houses. This year, in addition to the depth of independent events that make Design Week Portland amazing, we added a main stage. So what the main stage is 2 days of speakers from a range of design disciplines, which kicked off the festival and brought 500 people together for conversations about where design is today and where it's headed. And soon we're going to be launching an online journal pairing talks from the main stage with think pieces from local writers this summer to spread design thinking from Portland far and wide. We've also started thinking about ways to galvanize the collective talents of the design community for tangible impact in the city. We partnered with the John Yon Center and the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability to facilitate a design competition around the proposed Green Loop that's happening. And so what we had was an international jury with entries as far from Prague. And the winners were a young group of local designers titled Untitled Studio, and they were awarded $20,000 to further develop their winning concept in collaboration with the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability.
So Design Week has grown, and now in our fourth year, we have over 5,000 people attending the festival each time we mount it. We have over 100 events, over 100 open houses. We have over 100,000 people visiting our website each year. So that sort of gives you, by the numbers, the kind of reach that we have. But we're really here today to talk to you about our headquarters. And when we first started out, our headquarters was actually a type truck, which is exactly what it sounds like. It's kind of like a food truck, except instead of food, there was a printing studio inside of it. And each day, we would relocate the truck based on where all the events were happening and hand out programs and, oh, hi. Are you going to help? Yay.
Put an SOS out for the experts.
Yay. IT experts are the best. So we really didn't have the resources to do much more than try to do outreach and let people know about our programming. By the third year, we had kind of figured out how to do the core of what we were doing, and we were looking for a central shared experience. So we thought we would create a headquarters on Pioneer Courthouse Square, Portland's living room, to both provide an address for people who were engaged with the festival to come and experience what we were doing as Design Week Portland, but also to have a way to cross paths with the public and have more of a conversation with lay people about design. So what we did the first year was to set up three geodesic domes on Pioneer Square. One of them was for programming where we would have conversations and experimental performances. One was a lounge where people could meet. And one was an engagement dome where we had 50 designers in residence cycling through the dome throughout the week and illustrating the conversations that were happening both on our social channels and in person on the square. What we did was we populated the square with colorful flags that illustrated all those conversations, and then we upcycled those flags into the bags that you have before you right now. So a lot had changed between 2014 when we did that engagement and 2016 in the city. And when we sat down to think through what we would do as our public engagement this year, we felt like we couldn't really avoid the changing zeitgeist in the city, that everywhere we turned, we felt like we were hearing conversations with hand-wringing about the future of the city and where is everything going. And though we could only do this in a small way, we felt like we wanted to have a conversation with the public about all the issues facing the city, the things that you guys are on the front lines doing every day. And we thought, what would happen if we tried to make it more of a design engagement, to give an open invitation for people to participate in the conversation around the core issues facing the city. So what we did was we structured the invitation to participate around five issues: education, transportation, housing, equity, and education. The participants would walk into the geodesic dome, and they would see a board with one of these issues at the top of each. And they would pick a tag from the board that they felt strongly about. So if they wanted to say something about housing, they would pick one of those tags. If they wanted to say something about transportation, they would pick one of those tags. And each tag, as you can see before you, had both a vision statement and a pledge on it. And we structured the language specifically to encourage constructive feedback. We wanted people to say what they wanted to see more of, and then what they personally would do to help reach that vision. Now, after completing the tag, participants would record their tags in some custom hardware that one of our resident geniuses, Thomas Wester, built, who's here today. And it would photograph both sides of it so that we could have visibility to all of the responses that were coming through. And then they would place their tag on a post. We scattered posts around the geodesic domes that represented the neighborhoods of Portland. We were only actually able to build 45 of them because of our limited budget. So we got about half of the neighborhoods of Portland represented on the square, and we asked people to put the feedback that they had onto the posts of a neighborhood that they cared about. We also had an online forum to collect responses from folks who couldn't get down to headquarters. And so here's what we heard. We got 700 responses, That was over the course of 4 days, 8 hours a day. And the way that it broke down was that 40% of people weighed in on housing. 22% of people weighed in on transportation. And the rest of the folks weighed in on the other three issues, so they were trailing by a fairly large margin. The housing responses tended to be concentrated pretty close in neighborhoods, and unsurprisingly, transportation concentrated further out in the neighborhoods. Responses ranged from folks who wanted high-speed trains to the coast, Vancouver, and California, to housing localization and expansion dispersed throughout Portland, to education that embraced visual learning styles. Some people had unconventional suggestions, like housing that hangs from cable strung over the river. Many people pledged to get involved. 20% of the respondents used the words vote, help, advocate, or volunteer in their answer. But more than anything else, what we heard was that people were concerned about affordable housing. 127 responses had the word affordable in the language, 19% of overall responses then, and that accounts for more than 40% of the housing responses. Another word that figured heavily was homeless or homelessness, which consisted of 7% of responses and 19% of housing. So what we did was we tried to identify patterns within each of the issues. So we ran a sentiment analysis of all of the entries for both sides of each card. We figured that if people were more positive in their pledge than they were in stating the problem, that they were feeling hopeful or that they were feeling like they could do something. And if their pledge was more negative than the problem that they stated, then it might suggest a feeling of powerlessness. So after running the analysis, what we saw was there was an average score on housing and on employment that was much lower for the pledge. These were the issues that people were having a harder time thinking about solutions for. So, you know, your job is not easy, clearly. So some folks did have constructive feedback about those topics. It's not that they were all negative. For housing, folks would suggest things like zoning to encourage development that supported affordable housing or vouchers to subsidize low-income households. But often there was anger and disappointment in these particular issue answers. Some people even just left question marks as their pledge. But it might interest you to know that there were only 6 frowny faces as emoticons, okay, whereas there were 25 smiley faces. So that's evidence that Portland is still a nice place. So the topics that had more positive pledges were education, equity, and transportation. Bike, the word bike, appeared 41 times, which accounts for a quarter of transportation. People even provided helpful diagrams for technical turning lanes that they would like to see in the city. And they also talked a lot about wanting to see safe bike lanes from particular neighborhoods that were further out. There was also a sense of personal empowerment in some of the education responses. For example, one card said, "We need more equity in women and minorities in STEM." And so the pledge was, "So I will share stories of lesser-known scientists with my students." So it's a sense of ability to do something. So I just want to leave you with one thought that seemed to summarize a lot of the overall sentiment that we collected, and that was a comment that we got on one of the equity cards, and that is this. Portland is growing fast, and we need to ensure through all levels of institution to give access to all. So we know that the council is in the midst of finalizing the comprehensive plan. You have a lot of different ways that you engage with the public that certainly has further reach than Design Week Portland. We only hope that sharing these results would add a bit of texture to what you hear already. And we did have quite a few folks from city bureaus take an interest in our installation downtown, which we were very excited about. And so where do we go from here? Well, if anything that you heard here today or your interest generally in our installation sort of gives you a sense of excitement. We want this to be the beginning of an open call for closer collaboration with the design community. We are very well organized. There are a lot of people in the design community with specialized skills that care about this city. And through our various efforts at engaging more closely with bureaus and with the public, we would like to have more of an impact on the city and be part of the solution. So thank you so much for the opportunity to share this with you.
Great report.
And we look forward to collaborating.
Great. Thank you both very much. Questions, comments? Yes, you're here.
Do you have any information about the demographics of the people who participated?
We don't. We have a good sense of the demographics of folks who attend our festival, but we tried to keep the bar of entry for participation pretty low on the square so that people would participate, so we didn't actually do a lot of exit interviews.
And what outcomes do you expect, and what will you be doing with all this input?
Well, so we have all the data collected, and we did have some interaction with several bureaus, PBOT, and a couple of the folks who are doing affordable housing stuff in Eastside stopped by, and we are happy to share data with anyone who wants it. We're going to put out a report that sort of collects all of the highest level takeaways and gives some of the examples that give it a little bit of texture. But honestly, we want to join forces with anyone who's interested.
Yeah, thanks. I'm glad to hear that there's going to be a written report. That was the one thing that could have been helpful to me, be able to read about it ahead of time as well. So once that's done, Mayor, I'm sure you'll be putting
that
on the website. So Wonderful. Thank you very much for a very interesting presentation.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Just a couple thoughts. First, thank you for what you do with Design Week. I know that you get very little sort of support from local government, and it's very much a DIY event, and it's now grown probably well beyond what you originally imagined, and it's become one of our signature festivals. And one of the ideas that the mayor's had that I really appreciate is formalizing the way the city interacts with everybody that does big events. And we just concluded a tough budget cycle where the dollars were scarce at the end, but I still think the concept of a special office that interacts with all the festivals and events and figures out how we help, or maybe as Chad might say, how we get out of the way, is important. So that's something that I want to see the conversation continue. Second, I just want to apologize about our technology. It's anomalous to me that we have like almost a hearing a week on wanting to be an advanced technology center city. We're talking to Google Fiber. We're doing all these things. And yet, frankly, we had a big technology upgrade at City Hall, and now, of course, nothing works. So I apologize for that because of PowerPoint. But I would say if you would send us the PowerPoint.
I do, please.
We'll all look at it. And again, apologies. And then finally, just a comment about people's comments and affordability. Years ago, I read a book called What Do Unions Do? And it was a book that an economist and a scholar and a labor person, others, were trying to make sense of the fact that when they did some polling, they kept finding that people who were represented generally had a more negative view of the workplace than non-represented people. And it seemed anomalous because having union protection, civil service protection, whatever, you would think would have a positive impact on your view. What they learned was, the more secure people felt in the workplace, the more confident they were expressing their grievances or their criticisms, and that people that don't feel power often feel like their voice is silenced and then no one's listening. So it was an interesting, it sort of turned everything on its head for me, but we are changing as a city. We're going through a lot of growth. People are anxious. And I fear along the way that people, as they become increasingly unclear about how to communicate their views, they're getting lessons from the national scene, which I don't think are helpful lessons, mm-hmm. where we tend to yell and scream before we actually engage. And, you know, we spend a lot of time in the community as part of our day-to-day job responsibilities, and I'm always struck by the different temperature when you actually meet people in their backyards and engage them. People love the city. They're concerned. They feel like there's growing pains. But the conversation is almost always respectful. But social media is not so helpful because when comments become anonymous, people tend to take on a different persona. And I think sometimes people feel they have to jazz it up to be heard. And I hope that's not the case. I hope we're all listening. and that the respectful dialogue can still happen. And the final thing I want to say is that I'm very worried about pricing young creatives out of our city. And so, and I was at a city club forum on this recently, and I'm absolutely convinced we have to bring the coalition of arts advocates and design professionals and all the people who think about Portland as a creative hub back together, and we have to have a strategy for how cities are affordable for creative people and millennials in particular, and for organizations, nonprofit arts organizations, performance organizations, and small businesses. And I hope that's something we can get an agreement on for to have PDC and RAC begin to do an analysis. I think it starts with doing a cultural inventory, but it also and looking at other cities, because the redevelopment agencies of cities like Boston and Seattle have been the forefront of thinking about this. But I think we have to, our primary focus, morally and otherwise, is on street homelessness and people in crisis. We all understand that, and that's why the mayor's proposed a record budget in terms of investment. But we cannot at the same time risk losing what makes Portland special as a place that draws creative people that want to chase a dream. And right now, the affordability issue now impacts everybody. And I think we have to look at how we keep creative, particularly young creative people in our city. And that's going to require some new thinking about space and investment. And I hope we can launch that this fall. It's something I would like to take a leadership role in. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Anyone else want to comment on this report? Let's take a vote, please, to accept it.
Motion is accepted.
Motion to accept.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Fish.
I gave my comments earlier, so thank you.
Thank you.
Ritz.
Thank you. I look forward to the written report. Aye.
Hales.
There's that famous line in Casablanca where they say, round up the usual suspects. That's not what you did. You rounded up some different people, the usual suspects, and that's great. And both the creative force and spirit that you have tapped into with the design community in our city and having all of those creative people learn from one another and then having us as policymakers learn from them about how they see the city is really important discussion. So thank you for doing this. I echo Commissioner Fish's comments about we got to keep creative people here, and that's both a strategy and a price problem. But we appreciate your focus on the issue, and thank you for your leadership in putting this great thing for Portland together. Aye. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks. And next time, yeah, let's hear it for Design Week. Next time, we might have a working laptop here. So.